Y'all have to forgive me. We still got a mic issue. We're going to get it figured out. But God's greater than anything that comes against us. How are y'all doing this morning? Did anybody here just love the Lord? Anybody blessed? Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to ask y'all to stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And then I've asked the praise team and Miss Jennifer. No, we're going to do standing on holy ground when we get through. But we just love the Lord this morning. Hope, again, everyone's doing well. Y'all look mighty pretty this morning. Just a beautiful day the Lord's given us. As folks are still coming in, we're going to just get ready and go to the Lord in prayer. I know that there's so many that, you know, praise reports that are going forth, but there's also a lot of prayer needs right now as far as for healing. Those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling right now for whatever reason. And we're just going to lift each and every one up for prayers. We go to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer need or a prayer request, just show by raising your hand. Praise God. And as we always open up, we just want to praise the Lord for this beautiful day, for that breath He gives. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we just love You. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day You've given us, dear Lord, for this opportunity. You've allowed us to come in Your house and in Your mighty name. Dear Lord, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we just want to worship You. We want to praise You. We want to lift You up and honor You, my Father. And dear Lord, now as we come together, dear Lord, may we just be in one mind and one accord. Lord, we ask as Your blessings and Your Spirit comes upon us this morning, dear Lord. I know it's with us at all times. But dear Lord, as we gather together in this house, dear Lord, may we just feel Your presence. Dear Lord, we pray for this congregation, for our children's church, for the nursery, for all those involved in services this morning and each and every day. Lord, we're so blessed, Lord, that we have You, that we can come to You, dear Lord, and just call on Your name. Dear Lord, now as we pray, dear Lord, we're going to lift up those that have situations in their life, those that have gone through surgeries, those that are waiting on test results. Lord, those that have lost loved ones, dear Lord, those that are struggling. But dear Lord, I'm praying for the lost this morning also. Dear Lord, whether they be in our family, our friends, our acquaintances, His country. Lord, we pray that Your word will go forth, dear Lord. Lord, and just renew in us, dear Lord, that fire, dear Lord. Just rekindle, dear Lord, the situations, dear Lord, that we will walk boldly in Your name, Jesus. And dear Lord, we pray for those that are lost. They'll hear Your word and come to an altar of repentance. And dear Lord, we thank You for our families. Lord, we thank You for our fathers. Dear Lord, we thank You for this life that You've given each and every one of us. Lord, now we ask that You'll bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them as they go about Your service. Dear Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. We give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all sing. This is going to be our congregational song. I've asked them to mic up and just, everybody, just worship the Lord this morning.
All around.
praise. Lord, we just love you and we praise your holy name. Just praise your name, dear Lord. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated if you can. You know, when I was growing up, I went to some different churches, and you know, there was one, and I'm not calling any names. I love the people there. I love the church. I love the word that saved me, but you only had altar calls at the end of the service. It seemed like it. And I love the way our church is, and I love the way this church is, and I love the way God is, that at any time that we can call on Him, and that even here, as we just sing, and even a worship song that can turn into a praise song, and that we can just lift up to God and just lift Him up and just give Him all the glory. But know that He knows our heart. He knows our needs. He knows the situations that each and every one of us are in each and every moment. Just know that you're not alone. Not only do you have, the most important thing is we have God. In the name of Jesus Christ, that He's there available for us at all times. But we also have a praying church, and we love each and every one of them. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your dedication. I know it's a busy day to some, and it's just an opportunity, though. But I think right now we just need to turn it over to the Lord and just let Him just minister to each and every one of us. Let's be in tune to the Word this morning. I know that God is at work in each and every situation. Got a couple of quick announcements. We're going to take up the offering and then get right into the continuation of the service. Don't forget, if you haven't already marked your calendar, July 9th through 12 is our Vacation Bible School. We want you to be in much prayer. There's so much going on that week, and we just want you to, and I hear the excitement. I heard from the testimonies the other night about all the things going on with Vacation Bible School, the prayer books in the back, and all the situations. Be in much prayer for Vacation Bible School, all the ministries that we have, from the ladies' ministry all the way through. And we just love each and every one of them, and we're so blessed as they are. But as far as announcements, that's the only one I've got pending right now. I'm looking around. Somebody will usually give me a cue. All righty. Well, pray. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. There will not be an evening service tonight, and it's just to honor the dads, but also let's be in much prayer, as it is a busy day for everybody. And I know even talking those going back and forth for vacation and all, we'll continue to keep them in prayer. But there will not be a service tonight. Just going to ask each and every one, if you normally would, just continue to pray. Take a moment and just lift up the Lord and let Him just minister to us in each and every situation. But it's a day that we can honor the dads and just a wonderful day. So we're just really excited about that. So, all righty. Well, we're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. Thank you, guys. Brother Thomas, we're going to ask you if you'd ask the Lord to bless our offering, please. Thank you.
me up above my weakness. Lift me up into thy strength. Yes. Lift me up above the shadows till I stand with thee at length. Lift me up above the shadows.
Can I get a witness?
stay silent, if you can't keep quiet, then here's your chance. Here's your chance. Can I get a witness? Raise your hand. Can I get a witness? I need a witness. Can I get a witness? Can I get a heavenly sign? Can I get a witness? Anybody wanna testify? If you've gone out for a miracle, and you've seen it do the impossible,
hallelujah. How many knows that God is able to do all things? Do we have anybody in the house that can witness to that fact this morning? Amen. Give the Lord praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you, each and every one, and a very happy Father's Day. Let's honor and recognize our fathers that are here in the house this morning. If you're a father, would you stand and be recognized, and let's give them a great round of applause. How much we appreciate them. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for the love you have. Thank you for the dedication, amen. And just thank you for being dad. Praise God. 237, I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it, and we may sing the chorus. As we celebrate our Father's Day, many of us have fathers who are already living on the hallelujah side. Amen. They've already ended their journey here, and have taken up their abode in a better place. And my dad went home to be with the Lord in 2008. And a few days prior to his getting so sick that he was put under hospice care, he was in the hospital, and we were there sitting with him at night. And Dad would have a tendency in the middle of the night, sometimes in the early morning hours, to go into this worshiping and praising the Lord. And he never opened his eyes. And the first night, it sort of startled me because I thought he was trying to get out of the bed. But then I got set back because I found out that he was just glorifying and praising the Lord. And one of the songs that he was singing was Hallelujah Side. And we're going to do we may sing the chorus. It's on page 237. Now, he didn't go into every verse, but I'm going to read verse 1, verse 4, and verse 5. For all those fathers who are living on the hallelujah side. It says, once a sinner, far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold. But the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me, and he led me to his fold. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Verse 4, here the sun is always shining. Here the sky is always bright. 'Tis no place for gloomy Christians to abide. For my soul is filled with music and my heart with great delight. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. And upon the streets of glory, when we reach the other shore, have safely crossed the Jordan's rolling tide, you will find me shouting glory just outside my mansion door. where I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory. You're going to have to, that's too high for me. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me reign the Savior's praise and far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me reign the Savior's praise and far and wide. Once a sinner far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold. But the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me and he led me to his fold. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujah run. Let me ring the Savior through and wide. Jesus. Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I can still hear Dad singing that song in the early morning hours there in the hospital as he lifted his hands and praised the Lord. Some of the last words I heard Dad say, he was praising and glorifying the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go with us to the 8th Psalm of David. Psalms 8, verses 1 through 6. Psalms 8, verses 1 through 6. Amen. You know, if your dad's here this morning and you're within reach of him, go hug him. Can we do that just before? Just go hug your dad. I know you probably already have. And you're probably going to hug him two or three times, but let's just do that. Just go hug Dad this morning. That'd be good. That'd be sweet. Amen. It's good to have Dad to be able to hug. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Wow, there's some dads I didn't know their sons. Okay, never mind. In Psalms 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou would visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we do love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your amazing grace. Thank you for this day and this opportunity, God, to gather together in this house to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your many blessings, God. Thank you for being there during our time of need. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would bless and anoint this service. God, that you would take charge. I ask humbly that you would anoint this vessel. God, speak through these lips of clay this morning that you would have us to hear. Father, I thank you for all the dads here today, God, and what they represent. I pray, God, for strength and guidance and wisdom for them, Lord, today. Not only today, but in the following days to come. And Father, we humbly ask that your will be done. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you love the Lord, give him a hand clap of praise this morning. You know, I read somewhere where a father's love is sacrificial, patient, kind, humble, honest, forgiving, and selfless. It is constant and unchanging. We have so many examples in the Bible. There are many fathers, good fathers, that are mentioned in the Bible, and their stories are there for us to read and for us to take as an example. Fathers such as Abraham, certainly Isaac and Jacob, David and his sons, and many, many others, even latter, Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was the father of Jesus here on this earth. We have a lot of good examples there, and I'm sure that each and every one of us think that our father is the best, and rightfully so. That's just natural, and certainly you have that right to think because you know them better than anybody else. But this morning, I want to touch on the 8th Psalm of David, a psalm that probably was written, according to Bible history and reference, sometime around after the birth of Solomon, when many of the psalms were written. A lot of the psalms that David wrote were remembering his childhood, but this was in his adult life and after his sons were born. And most notably, he probably wrote this one sometime around that particular time in history. And evidently, David was thinking and reminiscing. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to do that. Maybe you have not reached that age yet. I was talking to Brother Chris this morning, and I was talking and asking him about the little floating paddle boat that him and the two sons were on. And when looking at that, you can see how much they have grown. But I asked him, I said, does it seem like it was that long ago? And he said, no, it doesn't. It seems like it was just very, very recent. And that's how fast that time gets by. And I told him, my granddaddy always said, life is a vapor. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. But I want to touch on David's writing here. Evidently, he was in that frame of mind of remembering his past and what God had done for him, and how many times that God had fought battles for him and been victorious and maybe lifted him up when David needed the encouragement. And David is reminiscing here about the goodness of God, and he begins to think, Lord, you know what? I'm not even worthy of your love. I'm not even worthy of your compassion. Not really even worthy that you would make a way for me, but I don't understand how that you, the God of all heaven, the God of the atmosphere, the God that spoke this entire world into existence, the God that made the trees to bloom, the God that made the waters to run, the God that made the mountains and all of those things and the many animals that are on the earth, how could you make all of those things but yet still have time and enough love and compassion to love man? And he began to dwell on this. And if you understand, and none of us really can understand the mind of Christ, because the Bible plainly tells us that his ways, his thoughts, are much higher than you and I could ever begin to conceive in our little finite minds. But if we think about it, of all that God created, there's some beautiful sights. We saw some this past week. Of all the wonderful things that he has put into existence, of all the many things that happened, the stars and the moon and the sun and all of those things that God, I believe, spoke into existence, I still believe in creation. Amen? I believe what the Bible says. And out of all of those things, out of all of his handiwork, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and no one could ever even come close to creating the things that God did just by his spoken word, if you'll read in the book of Genesis. David was looking at all of those things, and he began to think, Lord, you know, we're just a man. I'm just a man here on earth, one of many, just a part of all of humanity. And out of all of your creation and out of all of the animals and all of the things, yet you place more love on humanity than you do all of the other things. And I want us to understand today, or try to understand, the love of God. So many times I think that God gets a bad rap. Because many times people think that God is just a God of judgment and a God of wrath and a God that's ready to strike you down if you do something contrary to His Word, or if you are not completely following in His footsteps. And I'm not saying that God condones that. God will never, ever, under any circumstances, condone sin. Regardless of what the people today may think and say, God is love, so God loves everything. No, God loves everybody. God doesn't love everything. Amen. There's things that are going on in the world right now that God does not love. Not only does He not love them, He declares them and calls them an abomination. But He does love humanity. David could not really understand. He couldn't conceive the idea that this great deity, this great God, the creator of heaven and earth, and would love man enough to be there, to answer prayers, to give us strength, to give us guidance, to lead us and guide us and console us and heal us and bless us in all the wonderful things that God does. You know what? God's a very busy God. Amen. This morning, not only are there prayer requests going up in this church, but probably every church that is having service this morning has a number of prayer requests that are going up. But the God that I serve, amen, is not confused about any one of them. He knows every circumstance. He knows every sickness and every affliction, amen, and nothing is impossible with God. And He's able to hear and answer those prayers if we pray a prayer of faith, believing that God can do all things. So David, in his human mind, sometimes we try to work things out in our human mind when we ought to let our spiritual mind. Man, that spiritual mind has faith. In our human mind, we want to see some evidence. We want to see some effects. We want to see things begin to get better. We want to feel in our body that we're already getting stronger or better. But in our spiritual mind, all we have to know is we place it in God's hands, we pray by faith, and we're going to go on believing and testify for the very fact that what we have just prayed for, our loving Father in heaven, is already got the answer on the way. Amen? That's what we call praying in faith and believing. So David asks the question, what is man? What is so special about man? Meaning woman too, meaning humanity. When I use the word man this morning, I want you to understand that that is an all-inclusive word there. It actually means all of humanity. Lord, what are we? We're part of your creation. We're beings. We're basically classified in the animal classification. And if that offends you, had you rather be classified in the vegetables? I don't think so. We're part of the animal. But there's something special that the animals don't have. And don't be offended. I know that you love your pets, and there's a saying, all dogs go to heaven. But I want to tell you, there is something special about humanity when God formed and fashioned us. I do not read when He created the elephants and the camels and the dogs and the cats and all of the different animals, where He actually formed and fashioned them from the dust of the earth and breathed into their nostrils and they became a living soul. I only read that when He created humanity. When He created you and when he created me, He created something special. He took a little more time, if you will. He spoke the sun. He spoke the stars. He spoke all of the different things that you see today into existence. But He molded and He fashioned and He made man from the dust of the earth. And He took it a little further. You might say in the Bible, He breathed the breath of, but listen to this. As a loving Father, He kissed the breath into humanity. He gave of Himself. He gave of His breath.
And may I just pause here for just a moment, and this is one thing that I've echoed in my ministry for many, many years. How can a living human being that can read the Word of God, understand and know what the Lord did and created us, ever declare within His vow, in His voice, that they are agnostic and do not believe in God? Using the very breath that God breathed into them to make such a terrible statement. I want to clarify something. There is a God. According to the Word of God, there is a God. I want to also encourage you. He's in charge. And I also want to assure you, He knows exactly what's going on. He has a timetable. He has not shared that timetable with me, nor has He shared it with you. But He's given us indications. And I'm here behind the pulpit today to point you to the living Word of God, to let you know there are indications, amen, that that timetable is about to meet the end of time. God is about to bust the eastern skies wide open. He's going to come back, amen, for a church, for a people, amen, that is ready to meet Him. And David says, Lord, we're just flesh and bone. Maybe David thought about the many times that he had failed God. There were many. You want to know a little bit about the love of God? Try to understand the compassion and the forgiveness and the grace of God. David was still known as a man after God's own heart. The many times that he failed Him and even sinned. But David was able to acknowledge his sin. He was able to repent of his sin. He was able to ask for God's mercy to forgive him and cleanse him and purge him. Don't let anything within your spirit keep you, amen, from seeing God. If there is anything within your spirit, anything within your life that you think would cause or be an obstacle between you and the grace of God, get rid of it today. Get to an altar. Get to a place where you say, Lord, forgive me. God, I'm only human. Please forgive me. Lord, I'm going to depend on your mercy, depend on your grace, and depend on your love as a loving Father. Remember, a loving father is a sacrificial father. He will sacrifice many times. My granddaddy was a wonderful man of God. But before he was a wonderful man of God, he was still a wonderful dad. He was not a Christian at that time. Not even a churchgoer. But he loved his family. And he worked in Goodyear Cotton Mill. And if you know anything about that, he was born in 1909. Know anything about that depression area that he grew up in and had a family, and times were hard, but he provided for his family. Now, he never said this, but his children said this, that many times when school clothes and shoes had to be purchased for the kids, my granddaddy would cut pasteboard and put in the bottom of his shoes because his shoes had holes in them. But he never complained. And the children only knew that later on in life. They never realized, because Dad would just walk around in those shoes just like they were brand new. You see, a loving father is a sacrificial father. A loving father is a patient father. You know what? I am so thankful for the patience of God. I don't know about you, but the night that I got saved, the night that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I didn't automatically become a perfect saint of God. You may have. I didn't. Took some time. You know what? I didn't start walking, amen, when I was first born either. But a mom and dad that were patient with me nurtured me. When I was able to try to walk, they held me and they let me take a few steps. Now, my dad had to go to Korea when I was 13 days old, so he did not get to see me take my first steps. But my granddaddy was there, and he trained me to walk just like he did his children. He got a broomstick, and he cut it off, and he let me hold to that broomstick. And he would hold to the broomstick behind me, and we'd walk around. If you get the vision of a monkey, maybe that's what you'll see. And the organ grinder was my granddaddy, you know, walking around. And I gained confidence, he said. Man, I would just step, you know, holding on to that stick, you know. So when time came, after a lot of patience, a lot of understanding, you might think it was mean, but it wasn't. My granddaddy let go of the mop handle. And I was just walking around, holding the mop handle, and I turned around to see him and fell. But he was patient, and he picked me up. You see, sometimes the church doesn't have patience with young Christians. I can't believe they're doing that. Can't believe they're acting that way. I thought they were saved. I thought they were born again. Listen, if we could understand the eyes and the compassion and the patience of a loving Father and see through the eyes of God, we would not talk down about them. We would lift them up and help them, encourage them, and say, but by the grace of God, where would I be? Loving Father is patient. Loving Father is kind, humble, honest, forgiving, and selfless. And I thought all of those are wonderful words. And then the writer followed it up with this. A father's love is constant and unchanging. You know, we love to pat on the back from Dad. We loved a word of encouragement. At that particular time, it wasn't pleasant, but later on in years, we found out that even loving all of the hugs and the praise and the pat on the backs, we also love the chastisement. And we understand now how that chastisement came, how that correction came. You know the saying, Daddy didn't say it, but mother would say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Daddy never said that. But when they corrected us, I know it hurt them. But had they not corrected us, I wouldn't be the perfect man that I am. Except for the correction and chastisement of Almighty God. Don't you think when God says no, He doesn't love you? Don't you think when God chastises you, He's not doing that because He doesn't love you? It's the other way. He's doing it because He does love you. He loves you before all the creation, above everything else. He loves humanity. And He's going to be there to offer encouragement, but He's also going to be there to offer correction if we need it. Thank God for His correction. And David said, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful? What is man that is constantly on your mind that causes you to have such attention and love and compassion and kindness, sacrifice and humbleness for man? It is because God so loved the world, the Bible says. The world not meaning the things of the world, but basically alluding to the fact of humanity. That's how much God loves us. We know and we treasure the love of our fathers. We still remember them some 14 years after they're going home. I still find myself saying things that Dad said a lot of times. One, in fact, I remember we were at... In the mountains, we were at Dollywood, and it was the log ride. And Daddy was on he wasn't old. In fact, think about it, he's a good bit younger than I am right now. But we got up on the logs, and we rode the logs, and there wasn't many people there. And, you know, we had the good time. And so I said, let's get back in line and ride it again. Daddy said, nope. And you've heard me say this again. I said, why not, Daddy? He said, it don't take as much fun for me as it used to. Daddy, I'm there. Once is enough. Don't have as much fun. It don't take as much fun. But we remember those things of our father. And we're so thankful for that. And David says, basically what he's saying, Lord, I haven't always been the good son. I've not always been a perfect example of what a Christian should be. In fact, many times I've failed. Many times maybe I have, not knowingly, but maybe disobeyed your word. But yet you loved me. And you were there for me. What is it about man that you're so mindful of? You see, man, humanity is the only thing that God has instilled into us, a free will. Or that, you know what? I may get in trouble for this. But when God made dogs, he never intended for them to identify as a cat. Nor when he made all the other animals, the birds, he intended them to be exactly what they were. Amen. In fact, an animal doesn't really have a free will. We call it an instinct that they have. But you and I have free will. You didn't have to come this morning. You made a conscious effort. You chose to be here. You didn't have to come to an altar of repentance. But you made a decision. You said, well, you know what? According to the Word of God, I need to get salvation. I can't be good enough to get to heaven. I can't do enough good things to get to heaven. It is up but by the grace of God that I need to come to an altar of repentance, a broken and contrite spirit, and ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and save me. But you know what? You could have very well made a decision not to. And unfortunately, people today are making a decision not to. Even if they're making a conscious decision not to, by not making a decision, classifies as the same thing as not accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But all of the other creation could not do that. Can you imagine the sun saying, you know what, I don't think I'm going to shine today. Or the stars saying, you know what, I ain't peeping. I'm not going to sparkle. I don't feel like sparkling. But humanity can. You and I can. Unfortunately, you know what, I don't feel like praising the Lord today. You have that option. There is something unique. There is something extraordinary. There is something special about humanity. And it's that free will that God has given. God could have created man, humanity, and not given us an option. You will serve me. You will live for me. You will obey my word. You will adhere to all of my commandments. The first two people on earth failed. Couldn't do it. Couldn't even keep God's word. Of all the blessings and the to-dos, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can go there, but you can't touch of the tree of good and evil. And over a period of time, that's the one thing that allured them. Why? Because they had a free will. If God had not given them a free will, they would have never touched that tree. But God said, you know what? I don't really want a people that are kind of robotic. I want a people that will choose to serve me. That will choose to let the world go by. That will live in an evil world and still live a righteous life for me. Don't know the mind of God, but in my way of thinking, that means more to God than just making everybody serve Him. Because we serve Him and we come to Him of a broken and contrite spirit. And because we understand His love, His grace, and His mercy. And to me, if God could have spoke back to David and said, "But David, you don't understand. I love humanity because I have given them a choice. And those that choose to serve, those that choose to live me for me, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what I have prepared for those that love me." Wait till you see. Wait till you understand. Wait till you walk the streets of heaven. Wait till you see what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has gone away to prepare a place for you and me. He never meant for us to live an eternity here, but to live an eternity with Him. Oh, what a glorious place that's going to be. Amen. When we all get to heaven and we all are living on the hallelujah side. Because of the love of our Father, our Heavenly Father. David asked, "What is man that makes God so mindful of him?" We can probably sum it up in one word: love. If you want to understand love, get to know God. The Bible says God is love. Not necessarily God loves, which He does, but the God that we serve is love. And I was alluded to the scripture a while ago in St. John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," the Father of sacrifice. The Father of sacrifice. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." That goes back to a lot of mindset that the people think God is just a mean and wrathful God, and all He's wanting to do is just chastise us and beat us over the head. No. Sometimes we have to have that. But it's because of His great love. But He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. No. But that the world through Him might be saved. Man. God is love. His love is gracious. His love is not counterfeit. Love gets thrown around. The word love gets thrown around so much. But when you think about agape love, godly love, such an immaculate love, such a love that is beyond my ability to even comprehend or even verbalize, that the magnificent love that God has for humanity, for you, and for me, to love us so much. His love is faithful. When God speaks, count it done. God doesn't get messed up. He doesn't have to go back and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to promise you that." God is faithful. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God is faithful." All the time. His love is patient and compassionate. His love is enduring. And buddy, we really count on this next one. His love is unconditional. It is unconditional. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. humanity. Young man, young woman, boy or girl, you may make the decision not to follow Christ. You may, in fact, make the decision not to ask Him into your heart and soul as Lord and Savior. But I will assure you, the God that David was talking about still loves you and still would forgive you. But He's not going to force you because He's given you a free will. Thank God that He never stops loving us. Doesn't love the sin, doesn't love the lifestyle, but He does love you. His love is unconditional. You hadn't got to earn it. You already have it. You hadn't got to earn it. Let me just share with you. You nor I could never be good enough to deserve the love of God. We could never do it as human beings. But His love is unconditional. He loves us in spite of who we are. He loves us in spite of what we've done. Doesn't condone what we've done. That's the reason He's been a God of sacrifice and given us of His Son, Jesus Christ, who took my sins away. Lord Jesus nailed them to the cross of Calvary. And when His precious blood streamed down that cross, my sins went with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For your sacrifice, for your love, for your unconditional love. A father's love. Remember, not only on this day, but every day, the sacrifices of your parents, the things that they've done for you. But as we celebrate these wonderful days of father and mother recognition, every single day of the year, we ought to celebrate the Father's love. There should not be a day go by that a Christian doesn't thank God for His love, for His unconditional love. Amen. For His sacrifice, for His patience, for His understanding, for His kindness. So, in a way of speaking, David realized that, you know what, every day is Father's Day. When I recognize what God has done. What is man? Man is really nothing. Dust of the earth. Until God said, that breath that you and I take for granted each and every morning when we get up is not our own. You know, since I've gotten into this age that I am very, very thankful for the breath. Very thankful for the breath. But I know that one of these days, God will require it back because it's His. It's His. And that even makes me more thankful and more appreciative for the fact that God let me get up this morning and He let me breathe. But you know what? When He does take it back, He's going to give me an eternal life. Glory to God. An eternal body that'll never hurt anymore, never face sickness, affliction, nothing. Amen. But glory and praise and honor for the rest of eternity. My God. So as you celebrate Father's Day today, please remember the ultimate Father. Please take some time during this day to let God know. Happy Father's Day. God, I couldn't make it without You. I would not be here today without You. I just want to take this opportunity to love You and to thank You. And you know what? Tomorrow won't be Father's Day, but it will be Father's Day again for the Father of all creation. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, most gracious and loving and kind and humble
compassionate Father. Let us never, ever take for granted the love, the unconditional love that you have for all of humanity. And Father, let us always keep that in our heart, in our soul, as we glorify and praise you every day that we're here on this earth. Father, I pray today that you would just touch this congregation. God, not only you're a loving Father, but you're an all-seeing Father. Many times we could not understand how our parents could see something that they wasn't even supposed to see or couldn't even be in the same room, and yet they knew. They knew. And Father, you know all things. And I said that because of this. You know who's in this house. And you know each and every heart. And you know where every soul lies. And Father, even if the message can't move them and I can't move them, you can. Father, I pray that you would touch, prick, and convict that soul if it's not right. If not today, then sometime, please, in the near future. I don't know a better day than today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. As this altar is open, if there's one here that maybe has just a little bit of a doubt that maybe you're not completely right with the Lord, please come down. Make it right. God, purge me, cleanse me, make me whole again, make me full of your Spirit. And the God that I talked about, the God that David wrote about, is a God of love and compassion. Is there one today? Is there one? Please, nobody looking around, nobody whose eyes open. If you want prayer, and if you want this pastor to pray for you this week, just lift your hand. There'll still be something that you need to do, but I will be praying for you. God bless those hands. God sees them and I see them. And we'll be praying for you. Before we close, this altar is not only open for the unsaved, but it's also open for those who may need prayer. If you need prayer today, then we ask you to come this morning. We'll ask for the elders to come around and we'll pray for you and pray with you. Is there one that needs prayer this morning?
I
hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm amazed, and I shouldn't be. But we know that God's an on-time God. He knows what we need to hear and when we need to hear it. And we know that as we lift up each and every prayer request this morning, those that have come over, not only brought up here in congregation, those that are online, those that are watching online, I know as they're putting in their prayer request and those text in needs, that God's greater, as Brother Eddie said. He's very busy, but each one is unique, and God is on top of each and every situation. All hearts and minds clear? Yes, ma'am. We absolutely will continue to pray in that situation. Absolutely. And I know some testimonies of those that have had multiple procedures and God's carried them through completely. And we're going to be in that same faith that it's the same God that healed then that will heal now. Absolutely, absolutely. We also want to, as I mentioned earlier, I know this family's missed, our family's missing the little one. He's gone on his own to Florida with some friends, so it makes an empty spot, but there are a lot vacationing, a lot on the road. We want to continue that. But y'all remember, there is not a service this evening. If you have an opportunity, if your dad, if you still have your dad, spend this day with him. At least if you can't get in touch with him or touch him personally, just give him a call. But we're going to lift up each and every one of families in prayer. And for those of us, we celebrate the lives of our dads that's already gone before us. We know, as Brother Eddie said, they're on the hallelujah side. We're going to continue to praise God for that. Again, all hearts and minds clear. Well, we're just because we're released this evening doesn't mean that we're not going to stand together in prayer. So let's continue to be in prayer for today. And also, this is an opportunity to invite each and every one of you back for Wednesday night service. We'd love to have y'all with us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father God, we love you. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, thank you for your holy presence. Lord, thank you for your love for us, dear Lord. You continually to minister to us, dear Lord, and give us that opportunity each and every day to turn our life around and just present ourselves to you. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for that blood that you've shed for us, that precious blood. Lord, we thank you for the salvation, dear Lord. We thank you for your love. Lord, now for this congregation, I ask you, as we prepare to depart, keep us all safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. But, Lord, may your word go forth, Lord. May we be the vessels that you can use. Let your light shine through us. And, dear Lord, we'll be a testimony of how great you are, my God. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Praise God.